Meatloaf Monday on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Yum.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Meatloaf Monday. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are, of course, live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina. We are coast to coast and worldwide via the World Wide Web. And I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, who should have clicked something before I popped in there. Cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is a not so sad, but maybe a sad household having Jason Schubert live from Points Unknown. Man, talk about the highs and lows, a roller coaster experience from what happened last night in the NFC division playoff game. Man, I wanted the Bears to win so bad for Matt and all of Chicago, because of course, as we know, if you've been a listener to this program, I have a very soft spot in my heart for the second city. Definitely wanted to see the Bears win last night, JC. Heartbreaking that it went to overtime. They weren't able to pull it off. That's the news. And of course, for everyone here, and is Martin Luther King Day. Glad to have some of y'all at the house listening to us as opposed to sitting chained to your desk at work. But more on that a little later in the show. But happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Absolutely. It's a lot going on with the playoff last night. Transfer portal still kicking, Phil.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was a little distracted. That was an excellent opening, sir. And then
you're good.
The ball. I thought like Caleb Williams and DJ Moore last night. We just couldn't get on the same page. National championship, college football tonight, obviously, and stuff like that. Craig's working, by the way, in the ITG chat box.
No.
And it is Meatloaf Monday, and I was just looking up. I wanted to recommend the Ted's Montana Grill Bison Meatloaf. Is on time. They don't put the recipes up, right? So I looked up the recipe, and this poor lady, she's like, I like this meatloaf recipe from Ted's Montana Grill. It's got a bunch of ingredients and it's delicious. She's like, but I went to a national park and saw the bison roaming, and I just can't eat bison. I'm like, well, my brother and his friend went cow tipping one day, and I felt bad for the cows. Does that mean that I can't eat a delicious burger?
You can't have a delicious burger.
I mean, I'm a big animal guy, you know. I wasn't until I got a dog, and then I'm like, you know. Sometimes I'll think about that. These poor, I just try not to think about it. It's kind of like the weather in Chicago. You just don't think about it, and all that good stuff. But so this recipe from Ted's Montana Grill is good. If you Google it, do not use the ground beef, like the lady says, because this is the actual recipe's there, but use the bison. It's really good. I put bison and speaking of animals, what about venison? Because that can kind of get tug at your heartstrings too if you grew up in the 70s and 80s and saw Bambi.
I'll eat whatever tastes good.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of how I've lived, Phil, obviously. But I just can't think about it too much, because I'm like, oh, man. it's just one of those things. But like in my four meat chili, and you can find the four meat chili recipe on chiefsportsnetwork.com, I use venison, bison, breakfast sausage, and ground beef, little ground beef. I get the leaner ground beef, though, because if you get the 80-20 or lower, or 75-25, there'll be all this grease in there. Then you dump your veggies and stuff, and it just makes a little greasier chili. But anyway, Carolina Titan in the Nanosport, in the ITG chat box. All I eat is bison, more leaner than beef. Yeah, it is. It's actually healthier. Bobby said, dude, y'all said meatloaf and it hit a nerve. I'm looking up smoked meatloaf recipes right now. Russell.
Smoked meatloaf is an interesting concept.
Is good. Meat church smoked meatloaf looks solid, and I think it's a winner. Everybody, Bruin's working, Russell's working, Craig's working. I took the coffee off this morning. That was my holiday to take off, but I figured we could get in everything here. So the transfer portal, South Carolina, I think since we were last on, got four new players. We didn't talk about the quarterback from Bowling Green, I don't think. Christian Clark jumped on board, the running back from Texas. We've discussed him right as we were getting off on Friday. So I'll go through these guys real quick. A lot of these are what we call depth pieces. And maybe not. You know, they're all coming from smaller schools. They have a very diverse set of backgrounds. None of them have put up big numbers. The tackle from New Mexico State, Armando Neves, did win a junior college national championship and did grade out as the starting tackle at New Mexico State, eighth highest, according to PFF, in Conference USA last year. We'll start with him. As Jamie Bradford was talking about, Phil, the prototype right tackle, I think, is where he fits. Maybe left, but I think he's a right tackle, and he fits the prototype for what Kendall Briles and Randy Clements have historically done. I would not project him to be a starter at this point, but you never know. Everybody's going to come in on an even foot, and may the best man win, and that's the way it should be. But he's got pretty good feet, moves pretty well, long-armed, extension, you know, that kind of thing, can bend pretty well. Good player and experience too, albeit in Conference USA. And then the second part of that is, if you, we talked about Nashville a little bit in the new stadium during the crossover. If you go up to Nashville, they'll tell you straight up, getting players from New Mexico State's not a bad thing, obviously. So we'll see about him. I think that's you need numbers on the offensive line, and I think that's a player that certainly can provide those numbers. Lucian Anderson was the backup quarterback at Bowling Green. He's thrown 7 touchdown passes during his career there. Phil, in that room, you look at it, and Shane Beamer's said it before. He likes to have more quarterbacks than maybe you really need because of practice and things like that. And then, of course, we've made Jimmy Francis into a legendary figure around here.
Oh, Jimmy, as he should be.
Yes, that's right. Old Irish. Jimmy Francis was born in Dublin. Jimmy Francis. Put in Jimmy Francis for the love of all that's holy. But no, but I think 4 scholarship quarterbacks is a nice number. And, you know, this guy has got some experience. He's older, so he's a redshirt. He'll be a redshirt junior next year, if I'm not mistaken. And you got Lenoris going in. Lenoris is also a redshirt junior. But everybody else, Cutter Woods, redshirt freshman. Landon Duckworth is a true freshman. I don't know what Jimmy Francis is. But, so I get it, because you're looking at it and you're like, well, if you stay with 3, and look, I'm going to be clear. I strongly believe that Cutter Woods or Landon Duckworth, but mostly Cutter Woods. I think Cutter Woods is going to be the backup next year. I strongly believe that. Yeah. They're going to battle it out. But what you want to is like, okay, so what if Cutter, it's a new system. He's young still. What if he's not quite ready? Although this system this year is way more similar to what they run. He ran the Burns High School Bobby Bentley offense at Westside, because Brian Lane, that's where – and it's the Brian Lane offense now. He's adapted some, but it's the same system. That's more similar to what Kendall Briles does than – what Mike Shula was asking them to do. And I thought Cutter handled the Mike Shula offense pretty well, did some nice things. So I think strongly he will be the backup quarterback next year. But what if he's not ready, or what if he gets hurt? Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then your backup becomes a true freshman in Landon Duckworth, and Jimmy Francis is a turned ankle away from playing now. And look, what if Landon Duckworth comes in and runs the system great, and he's well beyond his years, and that happens sometimes. Well, maybe Landon Duckworth's the backup. But what this does, it gets you a guy that's played in a game that did not cost a fraction of what most quarterbacks cost in the portal, if anything at all, that's had some nice moments at Bowling Green. He can run and he can throw. And he's from Athens, Georgia, played at Clark Central High School. So I like him. I like his arm talent. His size is what stands out to me a little bit. Phil's 6'3", 200 and some change. So he's got good height. He's not a little guy out there. So that was a pickup that came in Friday night. And then after Clark did, and then over the weekend, this guy here, speaking of Irish names.
Charlie Mullaly.
Charlie Mullaly.
Mullaly.
Oh, Charlie Mullaly.
Charlie Mullaly.
Charlie Mullaly. Okay, Jimmy Francis. What, all right, we need a game where it's like, and Francis drops back and he's got Mullaly out in the flat. Oh, there he goes. Go. Go. Go, Charlie Mullaly. Go. So this guy here, man, he's got some video up of him running and running routes, and he's fast. And he's 6 foot 195. And played part of the year at Bowling Green. I think he, I don't know if he opted out or what the story was there, but I think he's a good little player. I mean, you know, you throw him in that receiver room that's got a lot of talent and let him compete and just go from there. So he was John Jay High School in Hopewell Junction, New York. Looks like class of 2023. I don't know much else about him. This is according to the 24/7 Sports database. Yes, he's an older guy too. First guy from the portal they've gotten that's from New York. Played at Holy Cross. Put up numbers before, like I said, he got hurt. But I like this guy. I mean, and I think he can play special teams too. Tough, hard-nosed guy. Bobby says Carolina's playing in a Dublin game. Lock it in. It's true. Mullaly and Francis. Only if Jimmy Francis starts and Charlie Mullaly is your starting receiver will the Gamecocks get to come play in Dublin.
Dublin.
Kreger says he wants to see Ferry's son. I've heard he's a pretty good player. I think at the high school level, he's a great player. Yeah, how does that translate to college? I'm not going to count him out. Stone is a great high school. Great. He's great. I mean, that guy's got a lot going for him. So we'll see what happens. Charlie Mullaly.
Is there a certain type of wide receiver that fits the system, in your opinion, JC, better than another type of wide receiver? Or is that skill set kind of immediately translatable to all offensive systems?
It depends, Phil, on, like, I think the positions within the scheme, like the X, you know, some people call them the X, some kind of call the outside. Your typical X is a, in this scheme, from what I've gathered through the years, this guy's a little taller. He's not, doesn't have to be 6'5", but you're 6'1", something like that, that's fast. You know, they do have slot guys that thrive in this system, smaller guy,
a little speedy
guys. But it's really built for just like, it's adaptable. Just like I said, when we were talking about the offensive line and Jamie's great research on that, it's adaptable to the talent you have because it's based on high school football, where you don't, maybe one year you got a bunch of slot, maybe you got the Smurfs from the old Redskins days, you know, or to kind of give a comparison closer to home, the Gamecocks. But when that Bruce Ellington, Ace Sanders, and Nick Jones, well, in 2012, I mean, none of those guys were very tall.
No.
Right. But they got it done, you know, so sometimes you have that. Sometimes you'll have some bigger guys. Sometimes you'll have jump ballers, and, you know, hopefully they're not lumbering jump ballers. You know, they have some speed. So I think it just depends, Phil. That's a good question about, like, what you've got. Now, I don't remember a whole lot of guys that are built like Nick Harbor from the Baylor days, but I don't remember a whole lot of guys that are built like Nick Harbor at all. He's kind of rare with his
right, body. Yeah,
and his skill sets. I'm curious to see. I mean, I was listening to Mike's discussion and all that about the receivers, and I agree with him. I mean, you know, it's hard. In some ways, when you have a game, you win by 22 points, and you only throw it 14 times, and five of them went to tight ends. You know, you feel bad for the receivers in some ways.
Yeah.
But that's one thing about it. But on the other end, yeah, I mean, you want a guy that's going to step up, and I don't know that the offense was designed necessarily to have that. And I look at NFL offenses too. And sure, in the NFL, everybody's got a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, that kind of thing. But in that level, they don't really care if they have to, you know, they're kind of, I don't know. It's kind of hit or miss with regards to how they, you know, break up the targets and all that good stuff. You know, I just see it sometimes, like, especially if you're running something that's a little different than most NFL stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's the NFL. Maybe they just weren't very good at passing. I have no idea. Maybe it was the line. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on. I may be talking out of my ass a little bit there, but I think that with Briles, you look through the years just at the stats, and there's always one guy that's got 70 catches plus one guy that's like in the 50s, one guy, you know, it's all, you know, everybody kind of gets the targets and stuff. So we'll see kind of how all that shakes out at receiver. DJ Black is back as well. I've always loved him as a walk-on. Played at Chapman. I hated to see the guy go. So don't count him out either. He's Spartanburg County.
Yeah.
And South Carolina has done pretty well with, you know, the few times that they've had guys from Chapman High School in Inman, it, you know, it's worked out pretty well.
It has worked out pretty good. Fairly decent track record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And DJ played at Limestone for Mike Furry in 2023 and 24. And gosh, 1,164 yards, 14 touchdowns in 21 games, and then went to UCF and had 22 catches for 273 and two. This is probably not one that will break the bank either, but so that's four. Like, you got Charlie Mullaly, you got Nitro Tuggle, you got Jaden Gibson. And this is the third player from UCF that they've gotten. DJ Black, and then Max Drag, who's the next guy we'll talk about that they added, is the tight end. Now, he's from Chapin originally and committed yesterday. I think that, you know, he's kind of a blocking type guy. Had some good, you know, not a lot of, you know, I mean, you know, in this offense, as Jamie pointed out again early, you know, back in the Baylor days, they only threw the ball to tight end 3% of the time. But like, and then with this, and then with Kendall, it's more like 17. So he's targeted him. But as that position's evolved, Phil, through the years, you know, I even think somebody like Mike Leach eventually would have started using some of these types of guys at tight, right. You know, even though he's wide all the time. And so I think that as the game's evolved, so has Kendall, and he mentions that. And so we'll see what happens. You know, Brady Hunt's back. The Michael Smith thing, by the way, and we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Yeah, that was
kind of disappointing because I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, if they can get him going, that could be a weapon. But, you know, I guess Ole Miss agrees with our assessment on that, right, that he could be a weapon. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that stung a little bit. But, you know, you got Brady Hunt and Mike Tyler. And then this Max Drag guy. So we'll see how it plays out. Maurice Brown, too, you have to kind of enter him back into the chat a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because I think with the way Briles has used H-backs, fullbacks through the years, guys with Maurice's or Mo Brown's skill set, I think this, although the first play of the season, we would have never said that, right,
Phil? No, yeah, it looked like he was going to be awfully productive in this offense last year.
As for some reason, I jumped into a Jack Nicholson voice there. I don't know why, but right there at the beginning of the season, we thought Mo Brown was going to catch a lot of passes. Yeah, anyway, but Bobby said, do you think we were out on tight ends if they can find a more receiving tight end type? I think they're done with that, Bobby. I mean, Hunt can catch the ball. Brown can catch the ball. I think Tyler will be able to catch the ball. But you're talking about a split gap. Don't forget, they do have Caden Ramsey coming in that fits that skill set. Yeah. Now, I don't know about the blocking part of it because he's a thinner guy, and I don't know that he's not a receiver long-term. But, you know, I think – we may say it's a jump going from single A ball in South Carolina to the SEC, but I think he's got the skill set to contribute if certain things go his way. If not, he'll just redshirt. And then that's that there. But Max Drag, you know, local kid from Chapin originally, and we'll see how all that goes. All right, we got to get to a break, Phil.
Yeah, let's hit it. Mm-hmm. Great name, though, Max Drag.
Yeah, he's a tight end drag play, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know.
I want everybody to drag their behunkuses to D's Wings tonight for the game. Head out there, ample parking. I heard Mike throw an ample parking during the D's promo and during the morning show. But, yes, ample parking. Beautiful part of West Columbia. My stepson says it's the best food he's ever had. Get on out to D's Wings. Watch the Hoosiers and the Canes fight for the national title. You know, get you some wings or a pot of that Buford stew or something like that. It's all delicious at D's. Proud sponsors of the show, The Morning Show, all we do here at ITG. And the Mad Dog and I will be back for a short segment to get to the top of the hour as we roll on to a glorious Meatloaf Monday.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy. You're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost five decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our four locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
JT is so convinced that you SUV drivers are going to love the new Grand Cherokee that he's going to pay you $25 just to take a test drive.
And when you trade in your old SUV, I'm going to give you an additional $1,500 towards your new Grand Cherokee.
Enjoy the luxury interior when you take it off-road or when you tow your camper into the wild blue yonder.
I'll pay you the test drive and I'll pay you $1,500 on top of your trade.
And as always, you get the JT's Advantage Plan too.
We're serious about saving you money, JT's Jeep Ram.
Start something new sales event.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolls on here on a Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We're talking about some transfer additions here for South Carolina with four new players added to the roster, at least committed. I don't know. I think they're all signed, aren't they, too, JC? I saw Max signed today.
Yeah, the ones they said, yeah, they're all, yeah, I think all signed. Yeah.
Is everyone announced as committed signed? Because I know the last portal cycle, there were some guys who were committed to South Carolina and then, like in the 11th hour, decided to go elsewhere and signed with other teams.
Yeah. I don't. Is Jaden Gibson signed? The first guy in. I think
the very first.
I don't remember seeing a tweet on him. I don't know. Hmm. But anyway, yeah, that's they're all signed and ready to go. I mean, I don't even think it matters though. I mean, Clemson had a linebacker that was signed and enrolled in at Clemson,
right?
That left to go to Ole Miss. You know, so we'll see how that happens. But everybody, people are asking about Desmond and Michael Smith. So with Desmond, they're kind of similar types of situations, but different. So with Desmond, he got in the portal and they're like, wait a minute, you've signed a contract and we're going to hold you to it. I don't know if Alabama paid the buyout or not, what ultimately happened. I would be surprised if Alabama paid the buyout for him. But, you know, maybe there was just some situation like, all right, we don't want to be a jerk to you and all that. And I got a text, Friday night from a good friend of mine that covers Alabama, and he was asking about him. And he's like, well, why didn't he play more? I was like, well, he's behind some good players, but also he's a slow-developing guy. And he asked me if he'd help Alabama, and I think he could possibly next year. Alabama has a lot of needs. They're losing some folks, so – and so he just ended up at Alabama. Then Michael Smith, very strange. So,
yes,
you know, Smith, I don't think he ever went to Syracuse. He had signed with them and he was just at Carolina chilling, just going to stay, you know, and, looked like he was staying and then are coming back, I guess. And then Syracuse was like, well, you know, we're not going to let you. We're going to enforce this with the buyout or whatever. And then there were reports that said, nah, you know, they're going to let him out of it and he's going to stay. And then boom, he signs with Ole Miss out of nowhere.
Yeah. No.
So, and for a fair chunk of change from the rumors out there, right? I would say this, about Michael Smith. Would he be worth that money? Yes. As talented as they come, he's a stud. Will he be worth that money? That's to be determined.
All right. Yeah.
So, you know, I think sometimes young players don't handle adversity well. And it's kind of crazy, man, because Smith is a freshman. He got hurt. He went out there and played his butt off and produced and then was looking like he was going to be a huge part of the offense this year. I just don't know what happened. I mean, he missed spring because of an injury, got back, you know, was kind of jumbled in with Hunt and Brown and those guys at tight end. You know, there weren't a lot of targets in games, as we said. I think the frustration just mounted, and he's like, I'm going to – because he didn't redshirt his first year, so he wanted redshirt, get in the portal. And then I think cooler heads prevailed and, you know, maybe he's like, well, you know, I regret it. A lot of guys did see, these are still young people that we're talking about. But yeah, so good for him for getting the money and whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like, yeah. Paul McJunkin, speaking of the Celtic and, you know, the Celtics.
Our resident.
McJunkin's more Scottish. He's McJunkin. He said 9 years ago when Chapman was really good, I learned something. The little league teams in the area were running the Chapman offense, same play, same language, smart. Yeah, a lot of successful high school football programs implement that. Burns did, as Krager points out in the ITG chat box later, under Bobby Bentley, you know, because when I came through Burns, Coach Bentley was just the offensive coordinator. He was just starting. He was like 23, 24 years old. and so – we ran like power eye at the middle school level. And then, you know, you got to Burns and the JV team, and there wasn't a ninth grade team. There's just JV and varsity. JV ran something completely different than varsity. And when Bentley took over as the head coach, the first thing he did was say every middle school rec league or, you know, grade school. Because out in that community, I don't know if they still do it or not. There were five elementary schools. There was Welford, Startex, Duncan, Lyman, and Reedville.
Reedville.
And they played like, you know, fifth and sixth graders played on the the middle, the elementary school is kind of the school team, right? Mm-hmm. Even though, but you played where you went to school. So it's kind of cool. It wasn't school sponsored, but you played where you went. So I was playing for Welford. We were the Redskins. StarTex was the Packers. Reedville was the Raiders. Duncan was the Cowboys. Lyman was the Rebels. Like nice. The high school. I'm like, all right, so everybody else named after an NFL team, and you guys want to be the Rebels. Okay.
The whatever. Rebels.
Whatever. Whatever. So, so we went and played, and all those teams at the time ran, we're just basic stuff, right? No. And so when he took over, Bobby took over, he went down to that level too. I was like, well, we can't make you do it, but we'd like for you to do it. And here's some plays. And then they started doing 7-on-7 and repping it over and over and over again. I mean, it was fantastic. And Chapman, I believe the Chapman coach at the time that was there, McJunkin, when you were there, I think he's now at Spartanburg High School. Mark Hodge, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. He is a very good coach. And I've known him through the years and tremendous guy. So, Harrison shed some light on Jaden Gibson. Hasn't been an official post that he's signed, but he posted on his Instagram story he's in Columbia. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. So, Tiffany asked a good question here in the ITG chat box. Are you surprised we didn't get any defensive ends, edges from Penn State, given we had hired their coach? No, I'm not surprised. I mean, they were right there with Chaz Coleman, but that was kind of a crazy deal. But nah, not surprised at all. Sometimes when the coaches matter so little compared to how much they used to matter, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say a head coach that takes another job won't take a bunch of his old players with him, because that's definitely happening. But position coach, yeah, I don't know. You know, a lot of those guys did follow James Franklin to Virginia Tech. So that matters, but it used to be you go swipe a position coach and he would come, if you were recruiting traditionally somebody, he could go snag him. And look, Sterling Lucas got Jaylen Brown, but we'll see. Yeah, Tiffany says, so it's all about a bag now, to a certain extent. But it's the bag. It's also the opportunity when you're an older player, like Caleb Herring, I think sees the opportunity. At South Carolina, lining up opposite Dylan Stewart. So, so that happened. And, yeah, Tiffany accurately points out Jaylen Brown followed Lucas Big Tree, followed Teasley to Nebraska. Well, you know, Jabri Coleman followed Stan Drayton to South Carolina. I wasn't aware. I mean, outside of Chaz Coleman, who they almost got, I don't know that there were any of the other Penn State guys that they were all hot and heavy on that they – because I heard nothing about any of those guys. So I don't know. Matt's working too, he says in the ITG chat box. at least getting that holiday pay. Yeah, man. Holiday road, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Martin Luther King Day. What's the official? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, or is it MLK Memorial Day? What's the official title?
Let us see here. I bet it's listed here. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I think if more people in our society like followed what he taught, we'd be a whole lot better off. And that was a really – everybody nowadays gripes and complains about how bad things are. the late 60s, you know, the 68, go back and look at like the absolute bull crap that was going on in our country at that time. And we made it through it. It produced the 1970s, which was both awesome and challenging, the decade I was born. But, I always want to do that. So, Tiffany does ask a good question about Rex Hogan, director of college scouting. Yeah, I'll answer. I think I've talked about him briefly, but maybe it was on coffee. So we'll see kind of about that. Titan points out accurately, Sellers, Harbor, and Stewart staying is impressive for the staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't leave. And I with Lenoris, even midway through the year, I thought he was going to go pro. I mean, but as time continued, I think that Ole Miss game opened a lot of eyes for a lot of people on a lot of things. But, you know, the feedback was you need to go back to college. And then Harbor could have gone. Harbor was either NFL or Carolina. There was no portal. Stewart was never leaving until Sterling Lucas did, because that was the whole thing about him. It was like, well, he's not going anywhere as long as Sterling's not going anywhere. And so that kind of, you know, I think made it important for Beamer and Clayton White to move quickly to hire Deion Barnes. And then once they did that, and you know, the money situation with Sellers, Stewart, and Harbor was not a, it's not like there was like this big bidding thing that went on.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just kind of the thing there. McJunkin adds, just to put a bulk on the, a bow on this, my little league team was Furman Sanssouci Vikings. Looked just like the Minnesota Vikings. Sanssouci. Part of Greenville County. Greenville. Sanssouci.
My grandparents built the house in Sanssouci in 1946 once they come back home.
It's lower TR. Lower TR. All right. Let's get to a break. Top of the hour. Meatloaf Monday rolls on. Check out that, Bobby, if you make that smoked meatloaf, dude, let us know how it turns out.
Yeah, man.
I read that Ted's Montana Grill, and I was like, that would be good for lunch, but I'm not going. Ted's Montana Grill is too far away to get DoorDash, like as far, they'll deliver it, but it's so cold, dude.
It's not worth it, right?
By the time it got here, and then I ain't going to pick it up. You can forget that right now.
Not in 5-degree weather.
And it's crazy. It's usually pretty gloomy. The sun's shining, though. That's the cruelest cold day. Sunshine and wind blowing, cold as you know what. Lance goes, smoked loaf and cold beer is paradise.
That's right.
Oh, man. If you want to build your own piece of paradise, check out the Barndo Co. We are built by the Barn Dominion Company each and every day. I know my wife has kind of got her heart set on building one, so we'll probably be one of their customers. It's located, speaking of Burns High School, it's located right there in Duncan, South Carolina. Barn Dominion Coast, if you're in the upstate, get off of, what's that, exit 63, Phil?
85?
Yeah. 63. Yeah. Get off on 63. Ironically, 63 was my jersey number when I played for the Welford Redskins. See, everything's connected. Meatloaf, everything's connected on a Meatloaf Monday. People just don't realize it. But yes, we will be rocking and rolling in the Barn Dominium. Just lots of awesome floor plans. And these are really neat houses. Several of you have already built one, which is why it's the power of the ITG and Chief Sports Advertising Network, right? And by the way, we still need a sponsor for the chat box. If any of you out there, hit me up, man.
Speaking of partnerships.
So we'll be back after this with the final hour of the Meatloaf Month, the second Meatloaf Monday episode of the show.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. BestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. It can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia.
If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Now back to Inside the Gamecocks, the show on a Meatloaf Monday.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Second hour of the show here on a Meatloaf Monday. Also, Martin Luther King Day. I'm taking a look here at the transfer portal here in the first hour. And we're going to look at the new position here, JC. What is it?
Director of Director Scouting.
Yeah. I didn't want to screw that up. So good.
Oh yeah, it's like I didn't want to screw up.
I know we got
a holiday.
Yeah, we got personnel, player, and development covered now. Now we've got scouting.
Director of scouting is what it officially is, and so this guy Rex Hogan worked at. He was at Auburn under Hugh Freeze, working. And Auburn signed some good players out of the portal, quarterback notwithstanding, but he's. Gosh, was a scout for the Bears from 03 to 15, area national scout for the Chicago Bears. Named senior director of college scouting for the Jets in 2015, vice president of player personnel for the Colts in 17, assistant GM for the Jets. So he's got some NFL stuff. In his background. So here's the thing. Some folks, when they talk about personnel, you know, and I think Florida did this, and I'm fascinated to see if it was going to work out. They just went and hired the old GM from the Jaguars, and then he actually answers to the AD and not the football coach, which is weird. And that actually scared Lane Kiffin off. Lane Kiffin could be the coach. If I were a Gator fan, I'd be livid.
Oh, yeah.
Because their AD, I mean, he's like batting zero. I mean, I guess, you know, in hiring football coaches, you know, Mullen had to fire him, spent all this money on Napier and all this bunch of money on Napier, and that just didn't work out. Then he extended him. And so then it's time to make that caged animal hire, right? And it's Lane Kiffin. I mean, you can visualize Kiffin in the visor. Why does Kiffin wear a visor? Oh, well. Shoot, I want to know why Lane wears a visor. You know, on the sidelines at the Swamp, dialing up ball plays. I mean, that's what that fan base deserves. And one of the holdups, and this was printed in The Athletic, was that they wanted to do this GM NFL thing. And hire this guy from the Jags, or that was with the Jags, to run the whole operation and be like, to not report to the football coach. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is how this whole business and industry with leadership, quote unquote, has completely jumped the shark. I mean, it's so dumb. Yes, players are getting paid. This is still college football, though. The NFL has a salary cap. The NFL has, rules designed for parity. You can't do it like baseball does it. How college you'd be better off hiring a former college baseball coach to divide up your resources and recruit and tell you how to recruit it, and then an MLB general manager to do this, because that's how it's set up. It's not set up like the NFL. Lane Kiffin, who has been the number one coach in putting together a roster during the NIL and portal era. There's nobody even close to what he did at Ole Miss, putting it together year after year after year. When he was an assistant coach, Phil, and even as a head coach, great recruiter, knows yeah. talent, has good people working for him. It's absolutely stupid. I know Kiffin's a great play caller, but you know what else he's really good at? Putting together a damn roster. And Florida was like, nah, we're good. We got the guy from the Jags, and we're just going to go hire this guy that sounds a lot like Will Muschamp, who I know, more power to him,
right?
Everybody knows there's a lot about Will Muschamp I absolutely loved, and having a ton of respect for the guy. I think he's a great defensive coordinator, and I think as a head coach at both stops, he did a lot of good things. In leaving it in better shape than he found it at both spots. You may not believe me, but it's true. But he didn't win. No. And he certainly didn't win at Florida the way they want to win. And Napier had that problem too. And so now you got Summerall. And it's just like, yeah, John Summerall's a good coach. But, I'd have let him go to Auburn and I'd have hired Alex Golish, because they don't have a – if you're going to have a GM making all the moves – then you probably just need to go hire a guy that is the most fun coach.
Just go get the most fun. Yeah, the most exciting.
If you're Florida. So how does that apply to here? Well, this is not what's happening here. I said all that to say, that's why, if you've heard me talk about no to the NFL GM thing, or read it on the Big Spur or whatever, how adamantly opposed I am to that, it's because of situations like that at Florida. Now, maybe it works out. I saw what happened in North Carolina this year. These NFL GM types, man, they don't understand the whole totality of a college roster. You have so many more moving parts. You got high school guys, you got portal guys, you got young portal guys that you're not really counting on to play. You got JUCOs. You got kids on bikes. You got clowns. You got kids on bikes. You got people at the drive-through. It's a juggling act, right? And I think that was David Spade in Reality Bites. He had a cameo. He was working at the Wiener Schnitzel or whatever. So that's the thing there. And so I've been against it. Now, Rex Hogan, that's not what he's doing. And Rex Hogan, worked as a GM at some of these places and then personnel. But, you spend 13 years on the road scouting for an NFL team. You are not only good at evaluating talent, you're good at finding it, because they look everywhere. Their jobs depend on it. And so why I think this is smart is, when you're talking about the transfer portal, the more resourceful you are, and I don't care how much money you have, the better. In other words, if you can find a guy that's just as good, that's cheaper, and then, because maybe you have to pay for retention and some stuff like that, that's fine. Do it. Mm-hmm. There's no correlation between money spent in its totality, i.e. Texas and Texas A&M, or, and championships. Not championships, and winning, because there's just as many teams that spend in that group of schools that spend as much as Texas does, mm-hmm. or in the ballpark. It's just as many teams that are disappointing in that one right now than there are that are successful. So, you know, so there's that. So you got to be resourceful. You got to know what you're doing. So, and what are you doing in the transfer portal? You're basically, albeit various levels of talent, you're basically scouting college talent, not high school talent. So it's a different, it's a different mindset. They've kind of needed this for a while. Just as in terms of a lot of times too with coaches and I guess now personnel guys like Darren Usher, we don't understand they're human beings just like us. They're not robots. They're not up there working 24 hours a day. They can't. There's not enough time. I mean, I've learned the hard way as I've gotten older, just how little time there is. It's more precious. Like, you know, like I don't even know how I had time to do this because I've always kind of been busy with work. I sit on the phone, talk for a couple hours with my buddies about football and stuff during the day. I can't do that anymore.
Right.
I don't know why. I mean, there's just too much to do. I mean, anyway. So just having an extra set of eyes and someone that can handle that and get your other people that are evaluating, handle it and talk to your coaches and scout and, you know, all that. That's great. I think it's going to make a nice impact. You know, South Carolina is going to be a transfer portal team. I mean, they're not a, let me reverse that.
Right.
They're not, yeah. they're going to be, I think this past year was like 52 homegrown guys on the roster, 25 from the portal. That number is probably growing a little bit this year. I still think South Carolina will be somewhere between 65 and 35. And I think they're always going to do things like sign Jordan Thomas and Jabri Coleman and these younger guys that are just like a year in bring them along. I think that's smart recruiting too. It doesn't always work out. Jaylen Brown and Aaron Nolan were two examples of that last year, and they're both out E5000. But Justin Uncle Runklo was too, and he's coming back, thankfully. That guy's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to make an impact, Tiffany. I really do. I just from a, you know, building out of that department, the more, Beamer always says more is not always better. And I agree with him to that certain extent. You got 100 people running around the building. You don't know what they're doing. Well, who are you? You know, but I do think in that department, based on feedback I've gotten, they need some other, you know, just because you're now, instead of just scouting high schools and then maybe JUCOs, that's not easy. Don't get me wrong. That's that you can screw that job up tremendously. But realistically, it used to be that, you know, a coach would handle that, the recruiting coordinator. And right. Now there's no time for them to do it because you're not only scouting, you're recruiting your entire roster year round. You're scouting other colleges, and that's a wide net to cast because you don't know who's getting in the portal and who's not. You hear people have conversations. Hey, he may get in the portal. So then you can evaluate that way as well. But you all always are evaluating that, and then there's still high school and JUCOs and things like that. So it's hard. So I like the move. Just in general, and I wanted. I'm glad you asked me that, Tiffany, because, you know, people may have thought that because I've been adamantly against hiring an NFL style GM and putting him in charge of the head coach and everything else, that's ridiculous. I mean, if you want to hire an assistant AD to kind of handle football, I think Jeff Crane already does that. There, you already have assistant athletic directors that are in charge of sports. So anyway. Well, that's my thing there, but and I'm fundamentally against adding layers of bureaucracy on anything. But as far as Rex Hogan goes, I think that's a very nice hire, and somebody that definitely can help what Darren's doing. Darren Usher is doing there, and Rex is reporting. You know, Darren kind of heads it all up, and Rex and Sam Searbay and all these guys are right. Below him and stuff. So I'm glad Darren's got an extra set of eyes in there and somebody with some experience.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that side of things is so dramatically different, JC, than it used to be.
Oh God. Yeah.
I mean, even in recent memory that, and so you need to have quality individuals that you can count on to be able to do the job that used to just settle right into the, you know, director of recruiting lap, you know, recruiting coordinator's lap, right? Like that job has now turned into like four different ones because you got budgetary concerns, you got evaluations, you've got
unbelievable. And then everybody in college football is a free agent. I mean, all right. Krieger asked about Rex Hogan. He said, is that Hulk's brother? Anyway, brother, here's Wonderwall. I love that meme of Hulk. He's got the guitars. Like, anyway, brother, here's Wonderwall. So sad that he passed away. My friend Jason, who he's my neighbor, really cool guy, really into wrestling and just a super dude. And we've watched the last two Bears games with him, and that's nice. I don't get to see him all the time. His work schedule's a little different, but Hulk Hogan came to the Jewel Osco, which is a Kroger, in Lockport one day, and we didn't get off the air in time for me to go. He waited 4 hours in line.
Oh.
And met him and took a photo with him. And then Hulk, I think, passed away within the year. And that was his favorite. It was like a great moment. So, brother, anyway. Bobby said he's going to smoke that meatloaf this week. Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Lance wants to drink beers and have a meatloaf with Bobby. We all do. Everybody wants to. On Meatloaf Monday, let's just all admit, we all want to have beers and eat meatloaf with Bobby. Bobby's good people.
Yeah.
Back to football. And Tiffany, this is another good question in from Tiffany. I get to Craig's first. Besides Jacarius Peak, what linemen are you guys most excited about? I'm assuming you're talking offense. Carter Miller at center, just because I think I'm sweating center after what happened last year.
Yeah, I know.
He's kind of a big physical dude, a lot of tattoos and stuff. I like him. He's from Tennessee. He's an old country boy from Murphy, from Nashville area.
The Purvis Brentwood kid whose neck is larger than his head. Is
Baymax.
Baymax is an interesting prospect just for the fact that he looks the way he did, that he's physically constructed the way he is.
That guy, man. He's old Kansan. Look, I don't want people to think that I'm being mean when I say Baymax. I'm not. Baymax is a beloved Disney character by the youth. Baymax obviously came after I was an adult, right? So, it's Bambi would be there. But I'm not saying that. That's a compliment because I think Baymax would be a hell of an offensive lineman.
I mean, if you're going to
grow him up. I like Purvis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like Purvis. But to me, it would be Carter Miller. I'll tell you a guy, Phil, that I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about since he committed. And he kind of was one of those out of the blue commits. There was nobody knew he was on campus and stuff. Is this guy from East Carolina?
Oh, Poku.
Poku. Yeah, Emmanuel
Poku.
Mm-hmm. The more, the East Carolina feedback on him from my guy Steven that covers for Hoist the Colors, matey, on 24/7 Sports. His thing was he's really good. They love Poku. He's really good, but he's more consistency. I'm like, well, welcome to the world of offensive linemen at South Carolina because I think they all could use more consistency. But you start kind of asking around about like kind of what other schools were interested in him and stuff, and there was a lot of interest in this guy. So Poku is a name to keep out for, but I'm going to stick with Carter Miller. I generally like them all. There's a lot of intriguing folks here, I think. I mean, you look at a guy like Seth Smith, who was on the radar from the start. You know, he's an older player. He's class of 2021, I think, which was Nick Barrett and those guys' class at South Carolina, TJ Sanders. You look at it, and he's an older player. But he's built big like a tackle, And so and this is crazy too. Like, I love geography with recruiting. Like I think geography does matter to a certain extent sometimes, most of the time in college football, traditional recruiting. South Carolina signed two players from Phoenix because Christian Clark's also from Phoenix. How about that? So that would give them, with Rattler, you know, three Phoenix area players in the last how many, 5 years?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
Tapped into the Grand Canyon.
Tapped into the greater Phoenix area. And that's Phoenix has grown so much through the years. That's actually a place that has about 15 to 20 power four level guys every year. And they got a pretty decent junior college system in Arizona as well. I actually went to Arizona Western one time to look at some players, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rough place. y'all have seen Last Chance U, I'm sure, but that Last Chance U was a walk in the park compared to watching that practice, dude. I've never heard so many cuss words in my life. Mesa, Arizona. It's you take this long, you go south, and then you go down along the border, and you go all the way almost to California, and you're in Mesa. Where is it? Is it Mesa? What's down there? Gosh,
let's see, down there in the Gadsden Purchase.
Mesa's in the Phoenix area, I believe. Southwestern Arizona. What is that town called? Good God.
Hold on, I'm pulling up my Arizona map now. Yuma?
Yuma, because there's a Western.
Yep.
Western movie. Yuma, Arizona. So you're all the way through the desert. That's a crazy drive out there, dude. I mean, and then you get there, and it looks a lot like Florence. City size wise,
and then you get there, it looks a lot like Florence.
Yeah, and it's like cactuses, you have cacti. And it, you know, it's just kind of it was a very interesting experience. I think that was about 2012 when I went out there and did that. That guy, Randy Gregory, that's who I went to see. Remember Randy Gregory?
Yes,
played it. I mean, that guy was, he got in some trouble, obviously, but he's a good football player, but that's who I was out there seeing, Randy Gregory, when I worked for 24/7 Sports. But yeah, Craig, I am excited about several offensive linemen as I outlined there, but I'm excited to see how it comes together, like who's playing where. You know, Jamie got me excited. People are dying out there. I don't know that excited is a word I'd use. I had to quote Independence Day. I'm curious and intrigued to see how it all comes together, because Jamie's got that data, and I want to kind of see how it all plays out. So, Tiffany, it's the national championship game tonight. Don't forget, we'll be on with a special JC and Morgan following the completion of the national championship game tonight. And this is a good question, and I know the music's started, so we're going to hit it on the other side. But she does bring up the point of ADs, including Miami and Ohio State, that said the revenue cap needs to be abolished. Of course they're saying that.
Why wouldn't Miami they and Ohio say State? That? Yeah.
So, to me, is it – I don't, you know. There's a lot of people out there that are making a lot of crappy decisions about the sport selfishly that think it's a good idea. I don't, but I think there needs to be some reality infused into the money. I mean, everybody talks about, yeah, I just don't know that in college football you can just have free market free-for-alls, because it's a competitive sport and you have rules that govern competition that make it a fair fight. And if you don't have those rules in a sport, I'm not talking about a business, because some of these business folks out there be like, well, in business, you know, blah, blah. Well, it's not a business. It's a business, but it's a sport. And that's what you're selling. You know, you're selling the sport. We talk all year for 12 games, guaranteed. You know,
right.
If they didn't play the games, we wouldn't talk about it. Nobody would care.
There would be no reason, right?
And if exactly. The games are the rules of the game are set up to not be fair and even, then you're not going to have much of a competition. All right, Meatloaf Monday rolls on after this final segment of the show coming up.
all we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. It can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Clowns are people too. Clowns are people too. Now I own some tiny horns and got me those red shoes. I don't know much, but know one thing that's true. If you don't know anything, just know that clowns are people too.
Now back to the clowns on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a Meatloaf Monday, coinciding, of course, with Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Hope everybody's enjoying either their time off, double time if you're at work, or, you know, who knows. Just enjoying a nice Monday, man. I like Monday. You know, I used to complain about Mondays back in the day, but anymore, JC, I'm like, all right, get a fresh start to the week. All right, here we are. Yeah, the work week cranked up and ready to roll.
When I was in college, early college at USC Upstate, before I went to Carolina and before I came back to USC Upstate to get my degree, my friend Loud Matt and I, we called him Loud Matt because he never said anything.
Right.
And, but he would like, we were all because, you know, Tuesdays were kind of a day of rest in college. Wednesdays, karaoke night at PJ's Bar and Grill in Spartanburg. Thursday night was a big party night anyway. Everybody went out on Friday and Saturday too. And then Sunday was karaoke again. And I'm not saying I went out every single night, but I was young. I enjoyed my life then.
That's right.
And so we were like, you know what? 5 days worth of a reason to go party at the bar is not enough. Let's start celebrating Monday. Let's lean into this. And so Loud Matt would call me up and be like, dude, it's Monday. And we'd just get together and at my apartment or his and drink our faces off.
Mm.
And go to Denny's in Spartanburg at like 3 a.m.
Oh, nice.
That lasted about a semester. I did pretty well in school that semester, though. So I don't know. I was some kind of cyborg back then. But yeah, so that was the last time I really celebrated Monday. You know, to me, it's kind of an annoying day because you can't really. You know, because Sundays you're like, oh, it's, you got this dread. I've had it ever since I was a kid. You know, the Disney, Wonderful World of Disney or whatever special was on would go off.
The Sunday scaries.
And I would know. Yeah. And I would know I had to get up and go to skew the next day. you know, anyway, that's the deal there. But yeah, it's, you know, Monday's an okay. For some reason in major college sports, the two revenue sports, at least, they love to have championship games on Monday nights.
I know.
So we'll see. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. My wife bought me this Indiana visor, Phil.
I see that, man. That is a sharp looking.
It's kind of sharp.
Yeah.
I think all South Carolina fans should want Indiana to win.
I'm pulling for Indiana.
Because it'll, and everybody will call it an outlier, right? That's an outlier. Yeah. No, it's kind of I think it's more of an example of where we're heading with the sport, which is that's the positive with all this chaos is that anybody can win. And to Tiffany's question earlier, of course, Ohio State and Miami are talking about that. And Miami will win the whole thing tonight. Miami's good enough to beat Indiana. You guys know that. They're good enough to absolutely win the game. But of course, they're talking about that because they've for years, the blue bloods in college football have had. I mean, it's historically one of the hardest sports to break through, you know, even in the SEC, if you now count Texas and Oklahoma and they hadn't won it won championships as part of the SEC, but they've won it before. Only half the teams have ever won it all. And the other eight care about football an awful lot, invest in it. I mean, it's hard to break through. So when you have kind of a cartel or a monopoly and you have all the, you know, and you can just basically spend your way to having the best roster every year, that's one way to do it. Of course, you're not going to want a cap because, you know, how are you going to win? How are you going to keep Indiana from beating you? Well, you just, you know, you start doing stuff if there's no cap, like, well, yeah, Indiana's got this guy, and Cignetti's going to coach him up, and he's going to be their starting tailback, and he'll probably rush for 1,500 yards in that offense. He's going to be third team for us, but we're going to pay him $1 million to sit on the bench so Cignetti doesn't get him. That's how – back in the day, Bear Bryant used to do that. They'd have 140 guys on the scholarship, track scholarships, band scholarships. And they ask him, why, you know, I just don't want Auburn to get them. Too good. I don't want Auburn to get them.
I don't want Auburn.
That's why they have scholarship limitations. So, of course they want that. Of course they do. But if Indiana wins tonight, number one, there goes the most captain obvious theory I've ever heard, the blue chip ratio. And this is nothing against Bud, who came up with it. I think it's in a lot of ways genius to come up with something like this, but it's pretty obvious. You know, most of your national champions in this sport do have 4 and 5 star players over 50%. It's been Clemson's first title. I think they were the lowest.
But they were like right at it though.
Yeah.
Like
it's 50, just 1, winning. And if you, who made the plays to win that game, Jordan Leggett, a 3-star tight end from the beach town of Navarre, Florida.
Right.
Jordan Leggett and Hunter Renfro, who was a no-star
right.
from South Carolina. Wayne Gallman, who everybody wanted, is a low 4-star linebacker. You know, and then you had the guys like was Mike Williams on that first championship team? Yeah, 16. Was Mike Williams part of that team, or was that Mike Williams? I thought he was on that team. Low 4-star guy from Lake Marion. You know, I mean, Clemson really, and obviously Deshaun Watson was a special player. And
yeah,
and Christian Wilkins and guys like that. They had their share of 5 stars, but it wasn't complete. But so that takes a hit, you know, and you got to wait for the spin that it's Indiana's the ultimate outlier. They're not an outlier, I don't think. And so then, you know, you don't want to hear about that. Then you don't hear about the blue blood monopoly anymore. You know, Indiana, and look. Here's the thing, too. This is somebody compared it to South Carolina. It's like South Carolina basketball winning something. Yeah, similar. It's like when South Carolina basketball went to the Final Four. But if you look at it, all right, it's the basketball schools that attempt to play major college football, right? So who are they? I'm not going to include a program like Cincinnati in it, because they've been, I mean, they're kind of a newcomer to the Big 12.
Or Houston, nobody like that.
Houston's been good at football too. Mm-hmm. I don't think those schools, those are gigantic commuter schools who want to be kind of good at everything. But so let's take, like, so who are the blue bloods in that?
Kansas, Kentucky, Kansas teams one, like that. You
know, Kentucky is another. UCLA. You throw in there North Carolina, you throw in there Duke is basketball blue blood, aspires in football, and then Indiana would be up there too. So those six, if I'm leaving someone out, forgive me. And I'm talking like you look, they're basketball schools. I mean, mm-hmm. That's clearly what they care about. You know, not and then, you know, like Louisville cares about that. They love basketball in Louisville. But they try in football really hard as well. So you wouldn't include Louisville.
Maryland.
Bear Bryant coached at Maryland. Jack Tatum won a national title there. Maryland actually won the 1953 national championship. I think if it was 53, that may have been like the team Bear Bryant recruited to that. I'd have to look at that. I'm talking about that now. All right. So of all these six jobs, Phil, I look at them and I'm like, well, what place has the of these six, who has a chance to win big in football? Well, I'd start with UCLA.
Yeah.
They've had their moments. It's in Los Angeles. There are UCLA football fans that exist. They're in a tough situation now in the Big Ten. They got to completely redo their whole DNA.
Right.
Bob Chesney, maybe Brian Rowe could lead them to glory next year out there with the Bruins. Canada. But UCLA and North Carolina. You know, North Carolina, it's a basketball-loving state, but they also have a ton of great football players there.
Yeah.
And it's got a great brand and lots of fans and money. And North Carolina should be good at everything, you know. I mean, and so I'd go North Carolina, right? So then you get into the next tier. Well, then there's Duke, who won the ACC football title. So of Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, Indiana, I would think I would, if I had my choice of those jobs, and this is nothing against Kentucky. Okay. I would almost say Duke, because all you have to do, I mean, all you have to do is win 7 or 8 games and you're in the 8, or especially while the ACC's down and they have money and they'll spend and they'll help you, but they don't really care, you know? As long, I mean, you know, and you could maybe parlay that into a better job like Mike Elko did. So Duke would be third. You know, Kentucky would be fourth because Kentucky's been competitive in the SEC before. They get 60,000 fans in there. There's not a lot of talent in that state, but if you have a good formula, like Rich Brooks would go and really dig deep in South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and get guys like that third tier of recruit. He'd find the right ones and bring them up there. Mark Stoops goes into Ohio and gets a bunch of guys, linemen, linebackers. Ohio's a great state. It's the northern. They took advantage of where they were at. The good news is it's in the SEC. The bad news is it's in the SEC. So there's that. After that, so Kansas or Indiana, and this was a tough one. This was a tough one. I would probably take the Kansas job, and I'll tell you why. Because you're in the Big 12, which is wide open every year. You just built a new stadium, rebuilt your stadium. It's gorgeous. It's the flagship university of a state. And with the portal now, you're not beholden to being the second choice of Kansas JUCOs behind your rival K-State, nor the lack of talent in Kansas. You know, there's basically none. Which every now and then Wichita will get a guy like Purvis, Hank Purvis from Wichita, right? Any talk about him going back, rejoining the Jayhawks? No.
I didn't see any.
No. 1 year they had the Wichita, this kid, Bryce Brown. Arthur Brown was the Brown brothers. Arthur Brown was linebacker. Bryce was his Arthur was overrated. Bryce never panned out. He was one of Lane Kiffin's big recruits at Tennessee. His recruitment lasted forever. But he's from Wichita. And there was no K-State, Kansas had no shot at him. And that's rare where you even have a player.
Right.
So, but I would probably take Kansas over Indiana. So the state of Indiana, Kansas level talent as far as football goes. And when they do have players, Phil, Notre Dame is located in that state as well.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, like even within your own state, when it comes to football, you're low on the priority list.
You got those beasts up in the north. And Bloomington is
players that would go to Purdue faster. They would go to Indiana. Yes. Back in the day.
and Purdue's kind of up. Purdue's halfway between like Gary. Where the Bears are probably moving.
And
Hammond and all that. It's halfway between there and Indianapolis. Trust me, I've been through there. So it's kind of the talent pockets in Indiana are like Fort Wayne has some. Indy definitely has the Indianapolis has the best. And then you've got some up in the Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana area. So, you know, Indiana University is you're going, it's between Louisville and Indianapolis. You get off on this town called Seymour. It's in southern-ish Indiana, closer to Kentucky than anywhere, which has no talent. And they've lost more games than just about. Northwestern's now lost more games than they have. But hell, Northwestern's been good and won, right. Went to the road. I mean, Indiana is of all the even the basketball jobs, Bill, that are basketball schools of the six. And you could probably debate Kansas and Indiana and Duke. Duke to me, path of least resistance type. I think Duke's right. A horrible football job. I don't think Duke, they have no chance. Cool. If Wake Forest were a basketball school, which I don't, they're not really good at, they've been better at football the last 15 years. Yeah,
I think they kind of fall in and out of both, right?
Yeah, I mean, but Duke's, these are traditional powers in basketball that attempt to play powerful. I just, you know, so of these six, it's the fourth best job, fourth out of six at best, if you put it above Duke and Kansas. But I think it's debatable. So there's going to be a lot of, if they can do it, we can do it all around the country with the non-blue bloods, if the Hoosiers win. So ITG chat box, go ahead. Yeah, it should be interesting and all that. So it'll, regardless, it'll either be a first-time national champion or the Canes hadn't won it in 25 years. So they won it in 01. So,
right.
Last time they won it all. Played for it in 02, then joined the ACC and went through the mediocrity forest oh suck. Or the suck forest oh mediocrity that is the ACC. It just drags you down.
What a league.
So Carolina Titans says, feels like player evaluation is becoming a dying art. I don't know. I think it's more important than ever, though. And Jay Frew asked about the spring game. I don't think they're going to have one. I'm just saying. I would love to see like an out of the box. Like North Carolina did that one year. They played. I went to it. It was at a high school field in Charlotte. But, you know, like we just talked about North Carolina football, it won a whole lot of – the Tar Heel fans didn't fill up that stadium for their spring game that day. It's kind of a
do it in spring. Orangeburg. Just do it down there, South Carolina.
Orangeburg, State. Or do it in Charleston, or do it in. I mean, you could do it at Burns, Dorman, or Spartanburg High School in Spartanburg.
Yeah, for sure.
Or Serene Stadium. I don't know. Greenville. I don't think. But I don't think they are. That's just coming out of my brain, not anybody that matters. But I just don't think they will. And I don't know that Beamer won't be all over it because, you know, they got a new offense. And,
Right. It's a peak of paranoia right then, I'm sure. Like, no, can't let anybody see what's going on here.
Paul McJunkin says, what's up with Trey Money? I thought Clayton coached linebackers. I know he had assistants. Is Clayton not coaching linebackers anymore? No, they're still all that. It's a title. You know, he just gets the title linebackers coach.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with the way they do coaching staffs now, you have your 10 main ones. But they did away with analysts, so these are all coaches. So they all can coach. You don't sit there and analyze. That was a great loophole. Oh, they're just going to analyze. Uh huh.
Sure.
But Trey's done a good job, and he's going to continue. Nothing's really going to change. He just has the title now and all that good stuff. Krieger says he's excited about Poku. Tiffany says Poku's the steal of the class. So yeah, people are excited about it. Bobby mentions the Martin Luther King Jr. speech we played during the break. He's like, it's wild how far as a country we are from that speech, which was impactful just a few decades ago. Yeah. I think in many ways the country's better and people complain more. I don't understand. Tiffany wants to go to a scrimmage. She says, can you sneak me into a scrimmage? I don't get to go to the scrimmages.
Yeah. We can't sneak ourselves into the scrimmage.
It'd probably be easier to get you into a scrimmage than for me to tell you. But Tiffany's been watching TCU games to see the offense and try to imagine what it looked like for us. It'll probably be a little different than TCU because there's a lot of Sonny Dykes there that they did. But it'll be, you know, you can get a feel. Tiffany says, let's go Hoosiers. Don't need another team buying a championship. Jay Frew's doing the Hoosiers thing. And he also says, yep, it's not an SEC crew officiating the game tonight because they'll be in favor of Miami. Yep. So Jay Frew definitely wants Indiana to win. So we will see what goes on there. But, yeah, that's going to be a good game. Don't forget also, we'll remind you again, Mike and I are going to be along after the game to kind of break it all down and put a bow on this football season. It's been hard to find time to do JC and Morgan because of Mike's travel schedule. And I kind of have a fixed schedule during the week. And we were going to do it tomorrow, but this is the one Tuesday and like that I've got to go do something for my wife. And so it was just we said, heck, to heck with it. Let's just do it Monday night, man. Monday night football talk. So, look forward to doing that. But yeah, everybody should hope Indiana wins, Phil. You can go ahead and hit the music.
Yeah.
The conversation is in a lull.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I hope Indiana wins. My dad's actually pulling for Miami. I have no idea why, but that's just him.
Your dad?
Yeah.
He's just like, being like, I don't like
Well, they're from the South. That's the whole thing. I was like, dude, you can't. There's a certain line, and, you know, I typically call it I-4, that below that, you can't really call that part of Florida the South anymore. That's just not the way it
works.
No
way. Yeah. Like, look, it's like Big Rooster Gamecock World is pulling for Miami.
Yeah.
We'll see kind of what happens. But, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I think Gamecock fans, I mean, you can pull for whoever you want to. It's America, and I'm not going to tell you who to pull for.
That's right.
But I think Gamecock fans should want Indiana to win just because and I think a lot of, if you're not a fan of the Blue Bloods, I think if you're a Blue Blood, you want Miami to win to restore order. Right? Yeah. Even though Miami's best days, we thought they were long behind them, they're still a Blue Blood, right? They're still a Volcano program, like Mike likes to call it. I think if you're a fan of anybody that's kind of in that middle class, you're like, yeah, go Hoosiers. Because they're not even middle class.
I mean, no.
Historically. So, Big Rooster hates the Big Ten commissioner. So we didn't even get to that. We need to talk. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Maybe a little on JC and Morgan. This whole notion that they can't decide between 16 and 24 is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And it just goes to show you there's no leadership. Sankey's sitting there wanting his way because of his schools, and they're wanting their way. And it's just, this is the same conference in the Big Ten that prevented all of us from having a true national champion. We voted on as the mythical national champion until 1998. 2 years before the turn of the century. The damn sport was 100 years old before they got off their Rose Bowl thing.
22 years later, they tried to kill the whole damn thing 1 year.
Yeah, just tried to cancel it unilaterally. Yeah. The same guy's trying to build a stadium in Gary, Indiana. Did this. This guy's a genius. Kevin Warren. Yeah.
What's wrong with why can't you just play at Northwestern for a season while you fix Soldier Field? I don't
know. Oh, that's
need that much help?
No, that's a big story, dude. It's the Friends of the Park. Soldier Field's located on a park grounds, like
right. With
museums. It goes all the way up to Navy Pier right on Lake Michigan.
Yeah, there's like an art museum or something.
All kinds of stuff. Like, there's an observatory. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
When y'all come up, we'll hang there a little bit. But so they're like, these people don't care about football. They're the biggest believers in the doctrine of no I've ever seen. I mean, it was hard for them to. I mean, they sat because they'll sit there and slap lawsuits on them and stuff, and get the national, the federal government to designate it historical. Like that's why the columns are still out in front of Soldier Field,
right?
Because it's a dang historical monument. I mean, these people are unbelievable. They started talking about a lakefront. Even the mayor and crazy politics in Chicago. Even people like the mayor are for it. But this Friends of the Park group, it's like this outsized power over this one part of the lakefront in Chicago is holding that up. So that was a no. And so then they were going to Arlington Heights, and it's an old horse racing track. They bought that out there. Built it out there, big entertainment district, all that. The franchise, unlike some franchises that want local governments to pay for everything, The franchise is paying 100% of all this for the stadium costs. All they want is some help with infrastructure. Arlington, you know, they're going to get bigger crowds than they did for the horsies.
Right.
And some tax assurance, because what's happening around Chicagoland is Cook County has hired a new assessor, and they've been jacking property taxes up left and right on homeowners and businesses and everybody else because they spend money like crazy.
Imagine that.
And so they want somebody to pass something that says, okay, we're not that we don't want to pay taxes, but we don't want some rogue, you know, purple-headed person that's on a city council that hates sports and our county council to sit there and jack up our property taxes, and we're just losing our butts. That's all they want. And the state government of Illinois, which spends money on everything under the sun, nah, we're not. We're not doing it. So they're going to Indiana. It's a great – if you're a football fan in Indiana, unless you pull for Purdue, life's pretty good right now.
Pretty good deal.
Colts were okay, you know.
Unless the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey. I mean, it's not unprecedented. It just seems weird up there.
Yeah. Tiffany says the SEC needs to align with the Big 12 and make the Big 10 history. Yeah, I would do that. I would say, hey, I would join with the Big 12 and say, we're going to be the NFC. You go join with your little buddies from the ACC, and y'all be the – we'll see it. We'll just have a college football Super Bowl. And we'll sell it for billions of dollars. But we're going to have our own stuff, and y'all have your own stuff, and we'll see you at the championship. That's what I would do. Anyway, for the Mad Dog Phil Mullinax, this is J.C. Sherbert. Certainly glad all of you were on here with us today. Coffee will return tomorrow. It's a holiday, so I took it off. And got to everything that we needed to get to right here on the show. And again, a reminder for the third time, Mike and I and the Mad Dog will be on after the national championship game tonight with a very special episode of J.C. and Morgan. The late night Gamecock show last night was on fire. You can get that on podcast form right now. It's available on Apple and Spotify. Please go subscribe and rate the 5 stars. Also, our podcast versions are on Inside the Gamecocks podcast and shows on Apple and Spotify, as is SEC Sunday Night, 4 Quarter Friday, and the aforementioned JC and Morgan right here on the Chief Sports Network. All right, Gamecock fans and other lurkers, we'll see you tomorrow on Terrible Tuesday. This has been the show.